This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Woman's Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and as ever, I will be joined by the one and only Danny Baker. Tonight, we are going to be discussing the draw at home to Forest Green, the Carabao Cup loss to Chelsea, and everything else that happened on Wednesday night. And then we'll move on. We'll be discussing... I just forgot what we're going to be discussing there, Danny.
Morgan Williams, we're going to talk about.
Yeah, Morgan Williams. I should have this already lined up, shouldn't I?
Have we got an
injury crisis? The prediction league. Do we miss the big time? And then we'll preview Newport. But yeah, Danny, how are we? Sorry,
I'm basically babysitting you. I'm absolutely fine. I mean, is there anything else you need?
A bath, a foot job. I said foot.
Yeah, I heard you say foot job.
And I need some sleep, mate. I'm knackered. I got in about one from Chelsea, so I'm knackered. Voice is gone.
Obviously, chatting, not necessarily, I think we might have told you before, but would you have been comfortable taking your little one yesterday? Like, how old are your kids?
My eldest is 14. He really wanted to come.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
But,
yeah.
But
how old?
7 and 2.
Would you have felt comfortable taking your 7-year-old yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, and would you have taken him if you could?
If he liked football, I would, yeah.
Okay.
He hates it, though, so.
Oh, crikey. It was just interesting watching the game yesterday, and it was obviously brilliant, but just seeing how old some of the kids were. I mean, it's weird, because when I was younger, but I guess, like you said, Chelsea, it's relatively sensible, but what do you reckon to the right age?
I wouldn't have been standing where I stood if I took my boy.
No.
Because it was quite... lively, quite busy in there, and
understatement of the year.
So
for you,
I would have moved. So I think the right. I think like my mate, his little one. I think she's only one or two, but she was there yesterday. He had defenders on. My mate Dave. He took his little one Ronnie. She must be 2 years old. 1 year,
oh,
2 years old.
Bless. I think it was busy.
I started taking my boy at 3 years old because I wanted to go. He wanted to do stuff on Saturday, and I was like, well, I don't really want.
And
to
I guess for some
park.
People, if they can't. Take the kids, then they can't go, so they'll just go right.
Yeah, so I just started
anyway.
He fell asleep at games. Do you know what I mean? He said he wanted to support someone else when we were losing, like to Cheltenham 3-0, and then we come back and win 5-3 that game, or the 5-2.
Stick him in the bin.
Yeah, and then he's now a mad Wimbledon fan and wants to go every game. He's gutted he couldn't go to Chelsea, but yeah, he wanted to go every game. So,
all right, but good week. It's been a good week. It's been an interesting week. I've kind of been obviously getting very excited about the Chelsea bit. But also keeping an eye on the transfer window and seeing what's been going on. It's been I do quite enjoy. It's a weird one. Now I'm teaching. It's like the end of the transfer window is almost like, yes, I'm buzzing. But then I know the moment is done. I'm going back to work. So it's kind of like that. Like literally today, I was out and about doing stuff. And tomorrow we're out and about and Dolly's at nursery. And I know that once she goes to bed and I watch the end of the transfers, which I'll stay up until midnight watching it. I know once that's done, it's like, okay, it's work mode. It's let's get the suits out of the bloody loft. And it's like, oh my God. I mean, I love teaching. It's brilliant. But when you kind of get in that habit of getting up late, you know, getting back to 6 o'clock up, getting up in the morning and being at work till quite late at night, it's like, oh,
welcome to my world, mate. 5 o'clock in the morning.
Just sit,
every day.
You just sit.
I don't go to bed till late, you know what I mean? So
you just sit
driving
down,
for hours.
Yeah. But it's been another good couple of performances. That, I mean, what did you make of the? Let's talk brief about Forest Green because we've got loads to talk about with Chelsea. So, yeah. Forest Green, give us your basic lowdowns on it.
I thought they were a better team than I thought they were going to be. They look good. They signed that geezer from the scum, Holland. I thought he run the game once Reeves and Little went off. We said on the debrief that all our plans would have been laid out, and you can't plan for losing your two best midfielders. So Reeves goes off within, 20 minutes? Then Little has to go off at half-time. I thought Ball done very well when he came on. Didn't think Ball and Pell worked in the central midfield.
Definitely not.
At all. We'll go on to Chelsea later, but if them two are going to play together again, it has to be in a three in the midfield, not the two of them.
Yeah.
As I said, I thought Forest Green were actually quite good, and people got to get over this thing at the moment with the league table and looking at the league table and going, well, Forest Green are near the bottom, we should be beating them. It's really early days still, do you know what I mean? And yeah, I thought they were good value for a point. I thought they had the better clear-cut chances. They hit the post. Ogun Dear saves two definite goals if he weren't coming in and defending. And I thought Bass done really well again. And Deeney comes on and shows what an ex-Premier League player can do when you've only been, out of the Championship for a year. And he used his strength, he used his body. I didn't think he was offside, but I thought it was a foul on the line as they pushed the ball in and pushed the players as well.
But
hardly ever given, so yeah.
I thought he was very clever. It's just for me, it's positioning. He just picked his runs when he wanted to pick his runs. I thought I'm exactly the same. I thought up until the two injuries, I thought we were buzzing. I thought we were fine. I thought we were playing well. And then the moment we lost Reeves, I was like, okay, but we looked like a different kind of midfield with Ball and Little. But I thought, okay, this will work. But then when the moment we lost Little and we lost Reeves, we lost all kind. We just didn't have any momentum. I thought Ball was all right. I just felt we were a little bit ponderous. We didn't have anyone to kind of who like was desperately wanting to get the ball. But at the same time, I thought Ali was, again, brilliant, apart from his finishing. The one in the second half when he ran one-on-one. Great ball from Bass, or it was Lewis, one of the two. I think it was Bass. And he's miles ahead of everyone else, and he absolutely spoons it.
Yeah, it goes over the ground. But we spoke about this again on debrief. I said it was actually a harder chance than people give Ali credit for. He's got a lot of time, but he's got a lot of time to think about it. And in the form that he's in, he should be hitting the target.
Mate, he's got the whole half to himself.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think he's overthinking it.
I'm not disputing what he's doing.
Ali of last year,
it's an easier shot. Yeah, you couldn't ask for anything more of a centre forward than having almost a jog up from the halfway line. He could have chipped him. He could have done what he wanted. And the sheer volume or the distance by which he missed tells you everything. But
yeah,
my God, does that boy run and work mate. Hard and it's fight quick. And he it's also it's I just like the reception that he gets. Like we love him.
We spoke about this again on the debrief regards to Omar Bugle's tweet. Did you see it?
No.
When Omar Bugle tweeted saying that he heard and seen on Twitter some stick that Ali's getting for missing chances and stuff and all this, and a lot of people were perplexed by it because I've not seen it. There was a couple of jokes in our bit when he missed it and then said, well, what's that offer from Barnsley, quick, let's take that, do you know what I mean? But that was a joke amongst friends, but I've not seen anyone slating Ali, or do you know what I mean? Everyone
I don't think they slate Ali as a player, but nevertheless he should have scored some goals. There's no that you could, and again, somebody like Ali, if he has to respect the fact that if he wants to be a player of any kind of description, he's going to play a lot worse and score goals. And that what comes with football is the fact that people, if he's going to, again, with athletes, if you're going to use social media to communicate, you've got to accept the fact that it's going to happen the other way, and people are going to talk about him.
But I don't think
it was Stick either. I didn't necessarily see Stick as such. I just saw people being a bit concerned about his goals, and I'm not necessarily concerned now because I want the window gone. But once the window's gone, we really, really could do with him scoring a few goals, because I don't see Davison scoring at all.
No.
He, for me, as I said, we were talking way back on the tube, he, for me, is we're 1-0 up. Let's keep possession of the ball. Let's press. Almost perfect for yesterday. Just run, run, run. Hold it up. Get a free kick play. Bougiel, I think, is brilliant. I really, really like him. He's right on my street. But he's not scoring. He'll probably get 8 league goals at most. And that will be okay, because it's not his job to score goals, I don't think. I think his job is to do the dirty work, which is fine.
No, but which is mad in football nowadays, in modern football, where you've got strikers that are not there to score goals. You think back in the day, every striker was there to score goals. And nowadays you go, well, I've got two strikers. We've got two strikers out of our three who are not there to score goals. It just blows my mind.
Me and a couple of
my mates were talking about it the other day. He's like, oh, if Ali don't score goals, we've got two strikers who ain't going to score goals, but they're there to do other things. It's like, well, wait a minute. This is madness. We should have three. But for me, it depends on what we do in the window, because I think some pressure needs to be off Ali a little bit, where we need to go out and get a goal scorer or get someone, young player from a Premiership team, Championship team, someone who can come in who might score a few goals here and there and get the pressure off Ali. But then we said also, Ali just needs to score off his arse, off his head.
I think once he gets one. But the way that he works for the team, I can see why. Like goal scorers, you see people like Stockton, they get a one season, they do brilliant, and then that's it. With Ali, the sheer pace that he works at, the dedication he has to the team, he's going to be a benefit to a lot of teams, and he's going to be a player that is going to be worth a punt.
Yeah,
the challenge is how much is that punt?
It's a big worry at the moment as well, because apparently Peterborough have put a bid in that has been rejected.
I saw that.
And the problem we have is I think Peterborough are very serious about it now, considering they've just lost or they're losing their two strikers.
Oh, yeah, because so, I know Clark Harris is going, isn't he? But I don't know who's the other striker.
I don't know who the other one is, but apparently, two of their strikers are going and they're looking to get a replacement. And
he would be perfect for them. But
and they'll have just, money as well if Clark Harris goes.
I just feel like it's just a season early. And at the moment, I still think although I think he will be a very good football player, he is a bit of a punt. And that also, ultimately, he has to be a long-term signing. He's not going to come in, and I don't think, he hasn't scored like 5 goals. If he has scored 3 goals, I think he's gone. But the fact that he hasn't scored any goals, I think might allow us to keep him till January but January, you don't quite get the money as you do in August. So it's kind of the balance, I suppose.
We're also in the driving seat, Dan, where we don't have to sell. He's under contract. I don't think he'll be the kind of player if we said, look, we're not going to take a job offer from Peterborough because it's the last day of the transfer window. We ain't going to get anyone in to replace you. And I don't think he'll throw his toys at the pram. I think he'll probably play like he normally does and keep to it. So on that front, I don't think we're in any rush to sell him. January, I think if he starts scoring goals and stuff, then there might be interest again. And some clubs might wait to the summer again.
Is there anyone else from the squad on Saturday that you think might then whether there's a move out there? I mean, I feel we're pretty. I can't see many others going out the door
only,
now that Broom
only loans.
Went, only that Broom went. I feel that means that Zanev is now. Yeah, how Swansea picked him up. I mean, fair play
three-year
to him.
Deal as well. Gig.
I just feel like with Zanev, I feel like now Broom's gone. It's a weird one because Zanev, you'd feel like Zanev should just go and play football. Like, he's at an age now, he's probably, 25, 26. He's back up a couple of years. He's had a year in League One. He's had a year in League Two. I think he had a little bit of the other leagues. I just feel like this is a really weird space for him. But I wonder whether no one came in or didn't. But for me, he's got to go and play football.
I think Zanev would go if he was not under contract. If someone has to pay a fee for him or work it out, I don't think he'll go anywhere at the moment. I think he wanted to go and be number two at Championship Club or something else. But I think
basically what Broome's doing.
I think at the moment, I think yeah, he might realise that unfortunately no other club wants him at the moment, and a lot of clubs do what we did and go get Championship, Premiership goalkeepers to come in on loan. Do you know what I mean? So Bass has come in, who's 100 times better.
He has been really good. But Saturday was decent, and I was disappointed that we came away with a draw. But by the end of it, when on the bus on the way back, I was kind of like, you know what? I feel like first half was us, second half was them. I'll take that and move on. And like I said, it is so short sighted just to go, oh, look, Forest Green or wherever they are. Like, just same as Saturday, you know, Newport were, what, seventh or whatever. It's just like, come on.
But we said the same, like, and I said the other day to you that we're going away from games now happy. So I left there happy. I thought it was a great game of football. We could have gone either way. It could have been a 3-3. Yeah. I mean, if you walked out there, it was 2-2, 3-3, you wouldn't have been disappointed. It's disappointed we didn't pick up all 3 points. But then when you look at the game overall, you go, right, points a fair result. It was a good game of football again. Do you know what I mean? There was chance. It wasn't like boring, like Grimsby away first game of season when people were feeling each other out. I think teams are playing now. And yeah, we've got some decent players that you think, yes, actually, they could change the game if needed here and there. And yeah, I walked away actually quite happy after the Forest Green game. So
definitely.
So Chelsea, what did you make of it all?
I thought it was a great night. Really, really enjoyed it. And I think it overshot my expectations. I thought it was just going to be an absolute, like, a battle royal. I definitely think it was a penalty. That's for sure. R1. I was very dubious when I watched it, and then I saw you deny after, and you were like, it's a foul. And it's annoying, but yeah, I feel like it is a foul. But I thought it was brilliant. I thought the crowd were great. I thought it was, yeah, I thought it was, I said to Dad, I was like walking down, I don't know what road it is, Fulham Road or whatever it's called, but it felt like going back into the Lions Den, if that makes sense. And I used to love that. That was, I don't want to get too corny, but I was having fish and chips with my dad. And I was like, Dad, thank you for not picking. Like, because my dad used to support Burnley, like back in the, God knows when, the 60s. Never used to go, he used to go to the odd game here and there. And then he obviously, you know, 70s or whatever, started going, he would live around nearby, liked football, went to watch Wimbledon, and that was that. And I was like, thank you for picking our local team, because we feel part of it. When he was saying that, going to watch Chelsea, you can't, you're almost now, you're not really part of it, if that makes sense. We're Wimbledon, and I kind of feel like, if you imagine, like, Wimbledon sort of surrounds me, if that makes sense. I'm in the middle, and the whole club, everything else is around me, whereas with Chelsea, that you're kind of on the outside looking in, rather than being on the inside looking out. It kind of was a really, it's a bit of a weird one, but yeah, loved it. How was your night? Oh, well, it took you ages to get there and stuff, didn't it?
No.
How long did it take you to get there?
No, no, I got to Putney for 12.
Oh.
So I was in Putney at midday, went down by the river, and then we went to the Golden Lion, which was an absolute ram full of Wimbledon fans, like the whole place. Really nice garden, yeah, really good pub, to be fair.
You like a garden, yeah. Didn't you?
Oh, you've got to have a good beer garden.
Jukebox, pool table?
No, there weren't none of that in there.
Dogs playing snooker, pitchers?
Nice beer garden, and our mate Glyn sorted the pubs out, so that was good. So we went there, and then, yeah, we made our way to Fulham. I met three Chelsea mates who come and met us in the pub, and we were all having a laugh with them, taking the piss out of them. They were giving it back to us. And then you might have seen one of them. Little Dave was the one, the Chelsea fan in the light blue, who was running down and giving it to all the Wimbledon fans in the Chelsea on the left-hand side. And it was quite funny because he's a really close friend. Like, he's an absolute hero, a legend, the geezer. And then he's running down and proper giving it to me. And I'm like, we could see him and we're trying to give it to him. And it's like, it's one of your mates, you know what I mean? Ain't just a normal Chelsea. And then I think other Wimbledon fans were getting really annoyed by him, but didn't realise, obviously, we knew it. And I think the same thing as you. I looked around, I got on the chair at one point, took a photo, looked around the stand, and you know everyone. I knew people up in the top tier, I knew everyone in the lower tier. I looked at Chelsea, I spoke to mates of Chelsea, and they're like, only me, my dad and my brother went. I didn't really know anyone else. Like, it's all touristy or YouTubey now, and... Do you know what I mean? Chelsea and stuff. And a couple of my mates who used to go Chelsea home and away, Europe and everything, they said nowadays, because of the entertainment factor and the amount of money people are paying, you're kind of not getting your working class football fans there anymore. It's people that actually want to just sit down and be entertained on the pitch. And yeah, the way Chelsea played football last night, I know they're not that great in the Premiership anymore, but I thought it was really good to, I know people hate Premiership football and stuff like that, but the way they moved the ball, the right winger was just unbelievable. Like, he had Johnson on toast, unfortunately.
Yeah, Johnson's, he really bad. Did, Madueke. And
I thought Johnson was good, yeah, but he just pace-wise, the skill on him, just the way they moved it around. I thought Gallagher played well first half. I think they went out of the game second a little bit. But I thought, yeah, I didn't think it was a penalty for them on the actual minute when it was happening.
I'm the same with you.
I thought he's got the ball, but then one of our mates sent it in the WhatsApp group from the Sky Sports news coverage. And yeah, he gets done. Pierce, unfortunately. I think he thinks the boy's going to cross it. So yeah, he dives in thinking, right, I'll block the cross.
Of course, I totally agree.
It's just so smart from the Geese. But then the Geese is a £30 million player, was playing for PSV last year. Do you know what I mean? He's on a 7-year contract at Chelsea on, what, 50, 60, 70 grand a week. Even their youth team players are on 15, 20 grand a week. So there's levels to this game. But what I loved, and I said it on the way home, this is Wimbledon now. I really feel we're as close to a Wimbledon side that we've been for years.
Yeah.
And the fans were wicked. I had people standing behind me. I was standing on the chair at one point, and I said to a guy, sorry. And he was like, no, don't worry about it, mate. Come on. You know what I mean? You know what it's like?
It was good. Like literally, we all had I was about 10 rows behind you, and I had everyone was just like, I'll just stand where you want. Like, it was like proper old school.
There was
school.
No arguing about it. It was like, no, we had one kid he couldn't see. We had one kid. So we all moved out of the way so he could see. We were still standing on our chairs.
Yeah.
I nearly broke a rib and like really badly winded myself when we scored. I went on the chair and then I thought it would be a good idea to go on the safe standing pole bit, you know, that goes across.
Yeah.
I've tried to stand on there and obviously I'm a bit overweight, just a little bit.
Only a little bit.
I've slipped and then landed like straight on my right side on this safe standing. And I was like, and then one of my mate, like guys, Jack Wood, was rubbing my back, make sure I was okay. And
well, it's not. Nice. Thank you, Jack.
5 minutes. Five minutes. I couldn't speak, which everyone was actually quite happy about.
Result. Yeah. I thought. Yeah. I mean, I can't fault anybody. I actually thought Ball was really good. I thought he worked. Pell kind of showed his age a bit. I thought, unfortunately, I felt he kind of. And his level in terms of I like Pell. I'm a big fan of his, but he's a bit of a disruptor. He's a bit of a more of a pain in the ass than a real raw footballer. The moment he got the ball, he was like, you could tell that he wasn't as comfortable with it. But I thought for his first game, I thought Morgan Williams had a really good game.
Unreal.
I think he worked. It was weird because I spoke to Dad about it and he was right. I was like, I think he's obviously quite a good. I said to him, I was like, would you play him on Saturday? Like, would you give him a game? But at the same time, we just didn't see him enough on the ball. It was just like he was constantly chasing, but he didn't look overawed at all. He worked. The only person, I wouldn't say I was disappointed with, far from it, but the moment he came off, we were miles back, was Davidson. I just felt that.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
It is hard. And I'm not going to be
harsh,
too difficult.
Really harsh.
No, I don't think it is. And the reason why I don't think it is that he struggled to do the one job that he was meant to do. And I felt that everyone else did it. And his job was to get it and hold it or keep it. And every time he got it, he really struggled to keep it. Like, he just was out-bullied at times. And the reason why I felt that is because the moment Ali came on, the whole game was completely different. Like, yeah, we actually had a live threat. They were like, Jesus Christ, who the bloody hell is this bloke? But, and he was charging around and barging about. And had he played the whole game, I don't think the game's any different, but I just feel like the only player who he worked his socks off. I'm not critical of his effort, but just as a player, he wasn't at a level where we need him to be yesterday, I don't think.
Oh, I disagree a little bit with you there, Danny, on that one, really. I thought Ball's excellent. I thought he was good on Saturday, Ball, when he came on. It's a hard game to get involved in on Saturday. Started yesterday, I thought he was really good. I don't think people realise how tall Ball is.
Yeah, he is tall, yeah.
I make you 100% right with Pell. Unfortunately, I think where he's got older now, he can't do that game that he used to do, run in and run
he's
with it.
He's definitely not box to box.
No, he ain't anymore, unfortunately.
He's got to be that pain. He's a three, and like you said, he's either a three or he's 20 minutes to go up and be difficult. Like getting the penalty.
Yes.
That's him. Yeah.
And I thought Morgan Williams was man of the match by a country mile for us.
Did you?
Yeah, one, because first professional start, he's what, 17, 18? He's playing against Chelsea away. Every time he got the ball, he made the right decisions with it. He didn't just kick it long. He took a touch, boom, come off, get it again. And also, we didn't have a lot of the ball yesterday, so he was chasing around. But what proved to me that he is that good is that our players trusted him to give them the ball. So our experienced players were like, there you go, Morgan, you can now. We're not going to be able to find the passes that you find. And then, yeah, as I said, I think when Ali came on, I think you're harsh on Davison, because when we were playing first half, it was to try and hold it up, which again,
I can take this hard on him
because I don't think we were getting the players near him, because Ball and Morgan were sitting and it was trying to get Pell as close to him as possible. And Davison was trying his best. There was one time when he turns the man and runs, has to come back, kind of gets fouled, but it was keys of it dropped. But then there was no outlet for him to then get to. When Ali comes on, Ali's pace behind and stuff, we could then go over the top of them. And they couldn't live with that. They were really scared of anything. To their feet and anything like that, they played ball all day long, Chelsea, weren't they? But once we started going over the top, mixing it up here and there, they then started to panic and really started to lose their way a little bit, and we were getting back in the game.
What did you make of Chelsea?
I just want to go on one more point.
Yeah, go on.
I think we missed a Curry style play yesterday, because I would have liked to have gone 3-5-2 yesterday with Lewis and Johnson, with possibly Pierce. Then we have Curry going up and down that left. You got Ogundia going up the right. Then fill that midfield of James, Pell, and Ball, and then you have Bugle and Ali up top. And I think that would have caused more issues, and we would have helped Dan on that right side yesterday. But we haven't got that left wing back. Brown, I thought, was excellent when he came on with that Maduku geezer. Thought he, second half, didn't think he was in the game that much. Where first half, he actually killed Johnson, where Brown kind of got in his face a little bit more, knew he was in the game. But Chelsea-wise, I said to a few Chelsea fans as we were leaving, kind of winding them up a little bit, I'd be well annoyed if I was a Chelsea fan and I spent £1 billion or probably more on players. You bought in half a billy of players yesterday. Some of your reserve team and youth team players are never getting near it. And I just, as a club, we bring like Morgan Williams, Sasu. There was another kid on the bench. I can't remember. It's Jennings, I think it was, from our under-18s. I love the fact, as Wimbledon fan, I've always loved it, we always bring our youth through. So from the days of Perry and, you know what I mean, players like that, we're still doing it to this day. I just don't get how these big clubs don't want to see youth team players coming on, and they're happy just to go and spend 80 million. I hate Wimbledon just go, right, don't need a youth team, we'll go spend 100 quid. I like the fact we're bringing players through. And
I mean, in Chelsea's defence yesterday, they played a number of their younger players, and they played, what, Humphreys, they played Colwell. Is it Colwell?
Yeah, but Colwell's this highly rated player that they will want to start in the Premiership, mate.
He does, yeah.
But I thought he was pony.
Like Gallagher, I think what was interesting is that as a League Two team, it was almost the two very different, like Chelsea, I felt, should have just shot more. I just felt they were trying in the first half in particular to find the magic. Almost walk it in. Whereas I was like, mate, just hit it. But then, outside the box, whack it, just bang it.
Then Chelsea, their first shot come on the 44th minute when they had the penalty.
They had the free kick went over, didn't it?
Yeah, but first shot on target was the penalty, 44th minute. You're at home against League Two team. Second half, most of their shots were out the box that were at Bass. So Bass made some good saves, but they weren't like going top B and he had to make an unreal save.
No.
Felt really sorry for Bass last night, because he has been excellent. Again, he made saves again yesterday. Everyone knows that he should have just, I don't know why he tries to side foot it and not just lace it, but he makes a mistake and mistakes happen. And I think last year or the year before, if he had been playing in them teams, we'd have been right on his back, killing him, moaning about it now, where we know how good he is. Fuck it. Let's forget it. It's gone. Yeah. We move on.
I think you're right. I think if I was a Chelsea fan yesterday, I would be watching it and thinking, the other thing as well, people don't remember, I know the possession or whatever, we had 10 shots on goal. Mm. 10. Like, we've had League Two matches with less.
and this is
against Chelsea going into their area where, you know, our lads have been running their socks off. I mean, I've got lots of friends who are Chelsea fans, and I wouldn't. They were like, oh, just, you know, sarcastic. Did you enjoy your night? You know, did you enjoy your day out and all this sort of stuff? And I was like, yeah, we did. I said, you're not going though this year. You're not going to want to go and watch this. This isn't a Chelsea good team. This is not that at all. Yeah. This isn't a Champions League team. This is not a top six Premier League team. And I was saying to my mate, I was like, the problem you've got is that it's all right now. You're really, really high days. If this is what you're producing, mate, forget it. You're going to have 5 years on the bench here, mate. Go and sit and enjoy yourself.
I said the same to some Chelsea people I know. I said to them that you've got no striker. They've got no one who's going to score on goals because, again, they didn't. Again, second half, I can't remember them.
Not to the talismanic. That
you've
top
got Haaland and like.
They've got a Drogba, Jesus, a physical or a goal scorer. No, I agree.
You know what I mean, you look
Jackson's
at other teams.
Good, but he's
even Man U have got Haaland coming in soon. And you know what I mean? I just looked at Chelsea and thought, Thomas, he works hard, but he's not going to score goals. They said, did you enjoy your big night out and stuff? Similar. I said, yeah, not bad, but. Do you remember when you used to be a European powerhouse? I said, and your big night out is beating Wimbledon now 2-1. Do you know what I mean? And the problem with social media nowadays is absolutely ridiculous. You go on social media and there's loads of Chelsea, like 12-year-old virgins all on their like ratios. I have no idea what they're speaking in, whatever language, but some social media language, and I don't really get it anymore. But yeah, it was just like, boys, you used to beat like the Milans and... Do you know what I mean? And PSGs, and now you're literally just beating Wimbledon on a Wednesday night.
And their defence would naturally be, well, you know, it's not a full-strength team, but...
It wasn't our full-strength team.
No, but also, by the end of the game, they brought the World Cup winner on.
Yep,
they 100. Bought the most expensive purchase, Caicedo. So, yep. In the centre of the park, you've got £200 million against an 18-year-old on debut.
Yeah.
You've got, you know... But well, with a Zimmer frame, it was an interesting, and even like, you know, Cucurella's 50 million. I mean, that's three players.
I had someone say to me that Chelsea B team, and I was like, well, but we didn't have our full team, Matt. Our captain's missing. One of our best midfielders so far this season in Little was missing. Do you know what I mean? Pell hasn't been starting, he's coming.
I mean, if you want to be bold
on Saturday,
Finchie, it's second choice right back, second choice left back, the two centre midfielders who have played every single game. They didn't play, and our centre forward. I mean, that's five. That's
Ali
five.
Ali and Bugle didn't start either. Davidson's not been started for us.
I mean, that was five. And I think it was the right thing to do. And like I said, I don't blame anybody. It was just it was good.
The thing for us is we were all in the pub before, and then we were all saying, like, what do you expect? Like, everyone's like 3 or 4 nil Chelsea if they play their team. I said, if they play a couple of youth team players, we could nick it. But we all said the one thing. We just wanted a moment. Do you know what I mean? A moment in the game where we all just went absolutely mental and we got it. Wimbledon gave us that moment with the penalty. Do you know what I mean? We put a ball in the box. I thought it was a penalty. We got the penalty. The roar, have you seen it? I've watched the video about 100 times now.
Yeah.
The roar is just brilliant. And yeah, I Stamford Bridge, as much as people hate Chelsea, myself included, Stamford Bridge is a great place to go as an away fan. Do you know what I mean? I like the way they've got the safe standing in the away end there. I know that was the home end we were probably in, but it's similar in that away end section. And you can make loads of noise there, which we did. I thought the players done us proud, the management team done us proud, the fans done us proud. Everyone went home pretty much happy.
Yep. I can't argue with any of that. And like I said, I think we were hosted quite well. I think Chelsea, it was a decent atmosphere across the board. It was good to sell out. Like the fact that, regardless of the tourist element, regardless of whatever we spoke about before, we've just basically earned our club yesterday a lot of money, and for us, which is a lot of money for us. And long may that continue. So, no, great day. Everyone enjoyed it. Really pleased for some of those players. I said to that, people like Pell, I think he's played against Chelsea before, but to some of those guys, that could be the highlight of their career. Like Johnson, I don't know what their careers have been like, but that could be the game that they look back on and go, wow. And it was funny, I don't know if you saw the moment the final whistle went, ball literally sprinted up to Enzo. I don't know if you saw it.
I want to get a shirt.
Literally, the minute the game was done, he literally pegged it, shirt off, gave it, swapped it with Fernandez. But it's that sort of stuff that I just love.
That's the kind of game that could make or break seasons. I know it's quite early. Do you know what I mean? But Arsenal last year absolutely ruined our season.
Difference between those games is Huge.
I hated every minute of Arsenal last year.
We never got even a sniff. We didn't even get anywhere.
I hated every minute of it, even from a fan watching the game from where we did. Hated every minute of it. Chelsea, I've loved every minute of it. And I just think this now, the players coming off, and you've seen some of the comments. I hope it's not just media-trained comments, but some of the people are like, blimmin' hell, this is actually a special club that we've joined now. Some of the Northern lads, Johnson, Tilly coming up from Crawley, they've gone, wow. You know what I mean? And this could be... I did say to a mate, we'll probably get dicked 3-0 by Newport now on Saturday because, you know what I mean, from the high of Chelsea to the low. And also, I don't think we can get a lot of fans down there either. So, yeah.
Yeah, the travel there.
It's going to be a nightmare. And yeah, I just hope we'll... But we better move on because we've been you've been waffling on for quite some time,
yeah,
Danny.
So. All my fault as usual.
Yeah, always is, mate. Always is. Yeah, so we'll move on. And then when we come back, we'll ask, is there an injury crisis?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back and we're going to be asking, do we currently have an injury crisis? Injuries have been our downfall for a couple of seasons now. We've got new physio in from Millwall. Can't remember the guy's name, but yeah, bald-headed geezer's come in. We hire a lot of bald people, don't we, actually, thinking about it?
Sure, I am, mate.
Yeah, well, I'll be mustard wherever they want me. But yeah, what do you think, Danny? Do you think we have an injury crisis? Or
I don't know, but I wouldn't say it's a crisis, but I think we're one play away from it being a crisis. And the reason why I say that is because we're already... down to our very, very bare minimum. The very nature, again, that we're playing a centre-back at left-back is a problem before we even start. And like I said, we losing the two centre midfielders that we did means that the way that we play has to change. So I don't necessarily feel like the word crisis, we're there yet. But my God, I wouldn't want to lose somebody else. And if you think about, one of the big things in the recruitment that Craig Cope was talking about was about addressing the situation around injuries and about keeping players on the pitch. And we, you know, the Ardley era, wasn't it? Well, I want my money on the pitch and this sort of stuff. It's just frustrating that the season has barely begun. And in my opinion, we are without four of probably our top or our most important six or seven players. I think Biller is massive for us. I think Curry is massive. Reeves is our captain. I think Armani Little has been superb. And with those four out, Ali, we've just got him probably back now to fully match fit. It's just it is a concern because I do feel like our first team and bench is fine. But the moment we lose any of that group, it gets a bit watered down. And now we have got to take four out, I feel like we're okay, but we're not brilliant. And now we're now at the point where, well, who's going to change the game in centre midfield? And who, if we do have another injury at right back, we're going to have to play Pierce. And Pierce can't play three games in a week. He can't. He's Saturday. Or like the fact that he played... he played against Chelsea, I can't for any minute believe. Well, the fact is, he played 65 minutes and came off and was swapped with Lee Brown to play left back. Like, I don't feel like those two guys can. I don't think that they can play anything like 90 minutes back to back. So that's my concern. And my other concern is, It might not be an injury crisis in terms of the personnel, but it also does have an impact on those other youngsters going and getting what they need. And at the moment, those younger players, rather than being like, okay, you can go for a month or 2 months or half a season or even a season, we're just having to to stockpile them because they're not going to play and they're just going to sit as a backup, as a number. That is why it could be perceived, if we lost another one, maybe, as a crisis.
No, I agree with you, especially like it's typically Wimbledon at the moment that Reeves has not had an injury for 2 years. And then within, what, five games, he's now out for 3 weeks. And losing Imani Little in the same place as well, who's only just come back from injury because he got injured last season, didn't he, at the end of the season and came back. And yeah, we all thought he'd be fully fit.
And I think he's been brilliant this year.
Yeah,
I think he's really been good.
Next to Reeves. And the problem is, I think you're right, one more player to go injured, say we lose an Ali, say we lose Bugle, say we lose a Ball, we are then Fred Bear in them kind of position. We're playing Davison and
I guess it is the price that we have to pay. We're not, hopefully, the most people listening understand that we are not in a position where we're gonna be able to play the best team constantly and have a person stacked up ready to go. We're not gonna be. We have to be cute. It's kind of almost like one of those sort of World Cup squads where you want a player who can play in multiple positions.
Yeah. My understanding was that before Saturday, we weren't looking to bring in anyone else. There'd be no outgoings and no incomings. But then obviously you lose your two best players. I know Little should be back for Saturday. Reeves was 3 weeks on Saturday. He'd be out for. And Curry and Biller are back for training now. But Biller could break down at any minute, to be fair. Callum Bye is on the way back as well. I think he might be in full training. I don't know if that's correct, but he's back soon. But I think we do definitely need to go into that loan market now. I know some people don't like the loan market and stuff because a lot of teams put, like, they have to play regularly and stuff. But I think you're right. We need to actually have some bodies in. Can't rely on all the youth, unfortunately. Like, as good as Sasu is, I still think he needs a loan. As good as Paris Locke might be, again, I think he needs a loan. He's not got near it. Morgan Williams, I'd 100% keep amongst the squad now. But what we were saying on Saturday is why, or last night as well, or against Chelsea, why are Morgan Williams, why have McLean not getting as many minutes? At ends of games when we were beating Sutton 3-0, why was McLean not coming on? And do you know what I mean? You can use five subs now. So freshen it up a little bit, especially when you're beating a team 3-0. I think that's maybe one of Johnny Jackson's only downfalls with regards to his subs. It was last year. And I think this year he's been really good with them. But now we're getting injuries and stuff. You think, well, actually, we need to use the players. We got these players in. Bring on McLean.
And is that part of the problem? Is the part of the problem the fact that we're not, where basically, you know, a lot of those big players, they're playing 90s constantly, back to backs. We're not able to rotate as well as other teams. So we've just gone, right, you'll play. And eventually you're going to get to the point, we are now coming up a little bit, but even, you know, the problem we've got is we've got game Saturday. I think we're playing Tuesday, right, if I'm right. We're playing Stevenage, is that right?
Yeah, that's in the Johnson paint.
Yeah, but even still, how are we going to, that you're still going to need to play four players from Saturday. So, how, you know, and one ain't going to be, one of them is not going to be Bass. Zanev will get game time. So it is just, again, one of those guys is going to need to play. It's just, I think, like I said, it's just the concern is, and injuries can happen to anybody, no matter how much you're helpful or caring about the players, these things are going to happen. But I guess it should be an opportunity for players to come in and play. But is that actually the case? Or is it a case where Kai Jennings, example, who was on the bench, a classic example yesterday, never going to get on the pitch. That boy won't get on the pitch likely, but he would benefit massively from a loan, which he's not going to get now because we've lost four or five players.
Yeah, so I think the Kai Jennings one was to be part of the setup, and he's probably been doing really well in our under-18s. So as a reward, we had enough players to come off the bench yesterday.
Yeah, I get that.
You fill the bench with one like that and go, look, you've done really well in the under-18s. Come and be amongst the squad for the Chelsea game. Like, do you know what I mean? We both, like, he wasn't going to get on no matter how bad we injuries and stuff. I think, yeah, it was a reward for him to say, look, this is what you could be doing if you keep doing the right things. Hopefully that's what it was. And yeah, we've still got the transfer window, which this goes out when it closes, so we won't be able to discuss who we brought in and stuff. I just hope we are still looking at bringing in two or three. We've made a lot of money from the Chelsea game. So give Cade Cope some of that, please, and just go out there and buy some players, because we need some players to come in. Because, yeah, I think, unfortunately, we're not threadbare yet like we were last year, but yeah, we're one injury away. Like, if Reeves comes back and he breaks down again,
yeah,
it'll be like, I don't know, they haven't really updated the fans either on the injuries to Little and Reeves, what they are. What, do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't see anyone going out, and I think, regardless of the Ali situation, I think it's too late, because I think if we were generally going to sell him, we'd have somebody on the pipeline, and I don't think we have. So personally, I think that I don't think we're going to get rid of anybody. And the fact of these, I guess the other side of the coin of the injury crisis, is the fact you can't really sell players if you're four players or five players down already. You kind of got to keep hold of. So I think I don't feel like we're going to lose any or anybody that we really want to keep. That's for sure. I can't see anybody in that real squad. And also the way that we played, and the way that the fans were, I'd be amazed if any player wanted to leave our club. At the moment, I can't see it. But I don't see anyone. I think Lewis would be a great person for Stockport to recall, but hopefully they stay as far away as possible.
Well, they've got Challoner, their manager, plays three at the back. And I said to you before, he only plays one centre back in that three. He plays a left back and a right back as the left centre back, right centre back. So they only play one centre back. That's why they were happy to get rid of Johnson. That's why Lewis has gone on loan. I was worried today because Challoner was talking to Charlton about becoming their new manager. And then someone else did make a good point. I think Windism Don made a point that they'd have to get a manager in within a day and then recall Lewis. Once this window closes, he can't be recalled till January. And I said to other people, but I understand Bass hasn't got a recall in his contract, so I don't think Bass can go back at all. But Lewis, January, he could go back. But not many teams recall centre-backs. It's hard, unheard of, to be fair. But I just hope we bring in a couple of players. The only good thing that we've got, Dan, and the good positives, is people like Morgan Williams have stepped up and said, hello, I'm here. You can use me now. Any games. Go throw me in against Newport on Saturday.
Question for you then, just on that. We had this thing with Bendall. If Bendall was still at the football club, do you think he plays
instead of Morgan Williams? No.
You feel like Williams would have played over Bendall?
Yeah.
And do you feel that if Bendall was at the club now, he would be getting some game time?
He probably would do. Yeah. Probably would get some game time. But probably not the game time that he wants to get. He would have been wanting to start yesterday. But from what I hear from Johnny Jackson's interview yesterday, and he said he don't like seeing Ilian players out, but what he's seen from Morgan Williams in training, he said to Morgan 2 weeks ago, he said to him, look, football's a quick-changing game. So keep doing what you're doing. Keep training hard. It could change at any minute. It changed. As I said, I think this squad, we've got some really good, I think they've bonded really well. Maybe the Benidorm trip helped that in the summer. Do you know what I mean? And they really know that if Little goes out of the team, Ball goes, right, I'm getting in and I'm going to stay in. Do you know what I mean? I think Reeves will come straight back in and Little will. But Ball has put his name in the hat to say, well, I want to play now every week.
Yeah.
And Morgan Williams has said, I'm good for 20, 30 minutes now of Gaffer. McLean just needs, I think, that chance again to say, look, I'm here. Johnson Paint Trophy, I think we will see McLean start. I think we'll see a couple of the others who haven't started. Sutcliffe might start at the back as well and give Lewis a rest or something. But they're then to say, and this is why injuries come into the play a lot, and say, look, I am here. Give me 30, 40 minutes. If you need to chuck me into any game, I am there. And also with the January transfer window, some players might have looked at last night, or a couple of players that we've been talking to or the club, they might have turned on yesterday and go, I want to be part of that. There's still the FA Cup. There's still the Johnson Paint Trophy. We could get to Wembley, and what a day that would be. If we can get in the playoffs, you mean we took four and off, we'd take 20 down Wembley again.
You wouldn't think there'd be a single player in the squad who, and let's be honest, there would have been moments in the last 3, 4, 5 years where someone who has been linked has had a chat with their mate, who's a mate, or by the way, our mate of him, who's mates with Presley, and would have got feedback, which is negative. You'd think that all them players would have gone, wow, they're noisy, the fans are noisy, it's a nice stadium, it's a good place to be. I just feel like at the moment the energy is such that we are at the moment an attractive club to join. I don't think that's always the case, but I do feel like at the moment we're a club where some people would have a look at. Quick question then, do you think if there's no Reeves and no Little, Saturday, do you go with Williams?
Paul Williams.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back okay. to 4-4-2. Pell drops out for me.
Yeah.
So 4-4-2. I'd go.
So you'd basically go back to
Williams and I'd go Bugle and Ali. Davison drops out again. Yeah, we'll talk about that when we talk about Newport. But yeah, I just think, as I said, I don't think we're in a crisis right now. I think crisis is quite a strong word.
Yeah.
But I'm right with you. I agree with what you're saying. The window's still open, so we've still got time to bring in two or three bodies. I hope to see at least two bodies.
I think we're looking at one max.
Yeah, I'd say I think we need two, if I'm honest. But yeah, if we don't bring anyone in or we only bring one in, it is if we're an Ali gets injured or Reeves is long term or even Lewis or something, yeah, I think we're struggling. So not struggling as such, but yeah, we are then relying on people to step up, and hopefully, as I said a minute ago, these players will go. I'm here. Morgan Williams has done it. I think McLean did it against Coventry. Do you know what I mean? They all want to be part of it. Ball sat out and was like, as I said the other week, when his mates were in Prague, and they said he knows he can't get in ahead of Little and Reeves at the moment because they're absolute mustard. But if something changes, which it did, I'm going to be there and I'm going to play well. And I think the two games that Ball have come in, I think he's been excellent. Chelsea, I thought he was excellent. And Forest Green, I thought he did well in a game that you're coming in 15, 20 minutes in and then going off at half time. It's hard to get into.
I think he definitely ticks a lot of boxes. I think he is tall. I think he's decent on the ball. I think he's happy. I think he's actually got a little bit of a naughty side about him as well.
Yeah.
So I think he ticks a lot of the boxes that are usually quite desirable in our league. That's for sure.
Is Dan, he's coming over Reeves and Little. So on Saturday, everyone was like, God, Reeves and Little have been so good.
Yeah,
and then putting Ball and Pell in that kind of bracket, and well, they should be as good as them. Where unfortunately, no one's going to be as good as Reeves this year. I think he's walking away with the player of the year at the moment if he plays all season. But yeah, Ball, I think, stepped up against Chelsea, and I think Williams did the same. And as long as we don't get big injuries going forward, and we can calm it down a little bit, you know what I mean, we're only a couple weeks in.
But that's like you said though. Like these football players, often they get so upset, or they're like, "Oh, I want to play." And after if they haven't played for 5 or 6 games, they get the ump. But as you said, you're with the level of physical activity that they're doing, the lack. I mean, the shin pads are absolutely pathetic.
Yes, like,
it is astounding. Like, and you know, the pitches get heavier, the games come quicker and quicker, and you have Christmas and you've got all this sort of stuff and people being ill and all sorts of stuff. You'd be mental if you were a football player and you were sitting there getting the ump because you weren't playing for a month.
Yeah, like, I
understand it, but it's madness because the game is so mental that all it takes is you come on once, have a couple of decent games, or frankly, like Morgan Williams has had one decent game and now he's probably one of the first names on the sheet on Saturday, which is mad, but that's where we're at.
But then I think Cope and Jackson have sat these players down and gone, look, we're not going to have a massive squad, right? So we've got a squad of what, 18? I reckon about 18 players.
Yeah, I reckon so.
And go, well, look, you're all part of this squad. You will all play minutes. Keep training hard. Keep playing. If that happens, which it has, you'll get in. Do you know what I mean? And I'll trust you to go in and play and go in and swap that jersey. And if you take that jersey, or shirt, I hate being jerseys, actually. Take the shirt. It's your shirt. So, yeah, I don't think it's a crisis at the moment. I don't think it will be a crisis. But, yeah, the summer window, I'm so tired, man. The summer window is still open and we'll see what we do on Friday. But yeah, we'll move on. We'll move on from that chat. Let us know in the comments what you think regarding what we're chatting about tonight. But yeah, we'll move on. Danny's got an update on the Prediction League, and we'll ask, me and Danny will say, and we'll ask you, do you miss the big time games?
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be coming on to a subject of do you miss the big games, as we obviously had Chelsea and we're still discussing that. But Danny's got an update first off on the league prediction table. I will be spending out the next lot for the games coming up tomorrow or Friday. Sorry, it's going to be coming out today as we do this. So,
oh, just we know what the deal is, Lee. All right, we're doing it on Thursday night. I'm going to send it over to you now. Yeah. You're going to do it. It goes up. Everyone knows this. Nod your head, everyone. If you agree, we all agree. Right. Everyone at the moment is chasing one player running the league, and that is Gary Buss. He's an absolute machine at the minute. He is on 8 big points. Then is the rest of the pack, the more, should we call, you know, your big dogs.
Who's number, double-decker, number one, is he?
Double-decker, Gary Buss, like it, double S. Then after that, what is what I call like the engine room. Like you've got, at the moment, Gary Buss has gone far too quick. You know, you've got the guy in the Olympics, like the pacemaker. He's gone far. Then you've got your big four. Andy Wardle, Danny Baker, Joe Moga, Richard Farrell, Faz. Us four,
we're there.
We're hanging on in there.
I don't like the fact two people from the podcast are up in the top four.
No, of course you don't.
So Danny Baker and Joe Moga, definitely something dodgy going on here. Where am I?
Well, I think that's a question that you can only ask yourself.
I was talking to Andy Wardle yesterday coming back from Chelsea. Good lad. Yeah, good lad.
Well, in six points now. So this is the last one. I'm not. If you haven't got 6 points, you're wasting everyone's time, really.
Well, I've got six.
Got 150, but 150 people. If you haven't got 6 points, I mean, what are you doing? But Hibbsy, Alan Hibbs, Alex Eastwell, Ben G, Charlie Robinson, Dan Lewis, 1 week, got 6 points, not done it since. Classic Dan. Lee Finch, six yes. points. Mod Gary.
Gary the Mod. I mean,
if he was actually christened as Mod Gary, then he's an absolute hero.
So what, how many points
Stobbsy,
you got?
Richard Stobbs and Robbie Moore. Not Bobby Moore, Robbie Moore. He's got 6 points.
How many points have you got?
I've got 7 points. I know.
Oh, so you're 1 point ahead of me. You're mapping off.
Part of the big four. But so that is our monthly update. I will once I do a bit of research, because I've got loads of people's names, but I don't want to sort of publish them all over our website and people go, I didn't want my name on it. So I'm just going to check the legalities. But so far, to be honest with you, on this podcast, me and Joe are being let down by you.
You're
so
point,
if there's a
1 point ahead,
just
one game.
We are technically, if you look at it, I'm 15, but I've got 15% ahead of you on points.
Because Joe was messaging up, he said he should be flying because he nearly got one of the scores right or something. He went, I went 2-1 and it was 2-0. I'm like, well, you didn't get it right though,
Joe. I didn't get it right, there. It's 1 point.
I mean, if my aunt had nuts, she'd be my uncle. But yeah, it's
all that. So yeah, it's been wonderful doing it. I spend my whole night going through, just to give you some context for anyone who's actually vaguely interested. No one, let's be honest, nobody actually cares. But for those people who kind of just want to think what an absolute lad I am, I've just made a spreadsheet. I would share it with you, Lee, but let's be honest, you're going to have no idea what I'm talking about. It's well above your station. This is big boy stuff. I mean, at the moment, just to give you an idea, I'm currently, whenever I get a league thing or somebody enters, I write their name, I go for every single score they've got each week and give them a score, and I'm making like a league table, and it's all incredibly intellectual for somebody like you. We're 152 people who
but
have
how many
at least
people
entered
playing
1 week.
Every week, like how many people have done it once
on,
and
mate.
Then not bothered again? Loads.
Look, I'm not getting involved in that kind of nonsense. Look, it's early, but again, like you said, with Newport, it's early season, can't read into it too much. But what I will say is the big four are there behind, you know, whoever's in front. No, that doesn't matter. It's all about winning. But that is month one. It's been a pain in the ass to do, but I've committed now. And once I've committed, I'm
wait till you go back to school and you've got actual work to do.
Don't.
As well.
I'm going to be like, what on earth is going? I've got a free period. I can't cover your French lesson. Because I'm doing the.
Why would you be covering French? You struggle with English.
I do everything. I'm absolute brilliant.
But you can't speak English, let alone French.
It's not about
bonjour,
speaking.
Ça va bien?
Well, tout le jour.
Ça va bien, merci.
Je joue football, and then we just carry on speaking English. But yeah, it's been a marvelous one. But let's go on to the big chat, because I'm not. Can I be really honest with you? Right, I loved yesterday. Was great. Not that fussed about doing it regularly. Discuss.
No, I loved yesterday. Would love to do it regularly. And you know, my dream is watching women in Europe, like European Conference League, Europe Cup, Champions League. I I get people hate the Premier League and stuff and the money that goes around. I think my problem with modern football nowadays is the amount of money in it is just made ridiculous.
I think it's a really, really unattractive thing. And I kind of get what everyone's talking about. And the very nature, unfortunately, is that the gulf between top and bottom is just getting bigger, which is the reason why I feel like the Super League, European Super League should happen.
I just don't like the don't get me wrong, I love Don's vlogs, Don's on tour, Reese TV and all them. We haven't got loads of them now, which is good. Got free do it. But I saw a picture yesterday of obviously the flame going up. I don't mind all that. Do you know what I mean? That's fair play for the youngsters who like.
Well, they're used to flames and stuff.
Ten or 15 middle-aged geezers with their phone recording the teams coming out, or the penalty yesterday. People recording the penalty. I just live in the moment of the game, and once the goal goes in, you just go absolutely mental. Do you know what I mean? And it's like everyone's everywhere kind of thing. Like yesterday, the roar was amazing when we scored. I just don't like the sanitization of football nowadays. And at the top level, you do get it. That's why I do like going to Europe to watch football, because the atmospheres are amazing. No matter if you're a mid-table team playing another mid-table team, the atmosphere will be electrifying. I did love yesterday, maybe because of the atmosphere was brilliant. If we play Chelsea regularly on a regular basis, would we? We took more yesterday than we've ever taken when we played them in the Premier League. I remember going one Boxing Day. We talked about the other week. Boxing Day, we were in the side stand then. And we hardly filled out the away end. Do you know what I mean? The FA Cup, when we went, we played them in the FA Cup semi-final at Highbury, and we didn't sell out that. Where I think if we played them in the FA Cup semi-final at Highbury now, we'd take 10, 15,000 Wimbledon fans. And I love the fact there's a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers, a lot of youngsters are really on the Wimbledon train now. And I don't know if that's because their parents supported Wimbledon, or they've grown up in the area now, and or Wimbledon's just a bit of John Green's got a lot of fans involved as well for his nerf fighting and stuff. But
I just to be honest, the thing for me, and maybe it's because I go to games in a different way, but the whole the game finishes, it takes me an hour just to get on the bloody tube, or it takes so long to get on the tube, and everyone's squashed with each other, and the whole ridiculous amount of searches and people struggling, not being able to go to games, get tickets, all that kind of stuff. I guess, don't get me wrong, and this is why it's a bit of a madness, is that if we got to the Premier League, of course I'm going. I mean, I'd be ridiculous not to go. And ultimately, I want to get promoted this year. So I obviously want us to go up. But I don't have that desire. Again, like I said, a mate of mine from work was like, oh, I've got tickets for a Premiership game. Do you want to go? No. No, not really. No, I've got no...
Yeah, but that's not a team that you support. Feel... That's why.
Well, no. But normally, if I had a ticket, if I've got a ticket to watch Wimbledon and I'm offering it out, there'll be people who go, yeah, I'll go. And I would be someone who, I love football. I would go and watch... If Wimbledon aren't playing, I'll go and watch a game. But I wasn't that bothered about going and watch Chelsea. It was Chelsea-Luton, actually. And I was just like, I'm not that bothered about going to a massive stadium and, you know, with all of the shebang. And I just feel like the distance between the top and the bottom is getting so big. For me, it's the problem I've got with it as well is it's not necessarily just the players, but like one of their players, even their sell their cheapest player and our stadium's paid off. And that's sustainable, a football club in the community doing great things, which is sustainable, will never need to like be let down. The whole of the area will benefit. And all it is one of your rubbish players gets sold and we have the money. It's for me, you've got also football clubs who, yes, some of them are poorly run and they have to take a little bit of responsibility on that. But there's just like, man, there's so much money. Like how the hell yesterday... You've got a team which is basically 400 million. Like how is that even a thing? Like, it's just, I can't quite get hold of it. Like, I never watch Match of the Day or anything like that. And I just, I like the transfers, but the numbers are terrifying. And I just find myself becoming more and more like pushed away from that, which is why yesterday was so remarkable, was that, in the old days, you know, if Wimbledon played against in the Premier League or even Arsenal in the Premier League when we were in there, 2000s, played against a Division 4 team, there would not be the same disparity of money. because our players are not worth anything because they go for free transfers all the time. But, whereas 20 years ago, Arsenal players were not getting bought for the players that we are, but then they're having the sheer volume of gap is nowhere near it. And that's why I find it a bit weird.
I agree. I think the money in football nowadays.
I agree
with the money in football. It's just crazy nowadays. And the reason why I fell in love with football and fell in love with Wimbledon was that we were a little old Wimbledon going up and down the country to places like Liverpool, places like Man United, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, and we'd do them. Do you know what I mean? It don't matter who we had on the pitch. We had people like Vinnie Jones, who was a hod carrier playing for Willesden before he came to us. Do you know what I mean? And we'd have Bash and we'd have Robbie Earl, who was playing at Port Vale, and we signed him. Ben Thatcher from Millwall. Do you know what I mean? And we've made these players who were at lower level. They were big Premiership players. You can't do that anymore because people just stockpile players. I started watching Wimbledon again. I'd be in the Premiership and I'd be paying £10-15 a ticket. Again, I make you right. A lot of people wouldn't be able to afford to go to Premiership games now if it's 50, 60 quid a ticket nowadays, yep. Or season tickets are £1,000. I don't like that side of it, Danny. I hate that side of it. I think it's ridiculous. But going to Chelsea yesterday, I'd love to go up to Liverpool and stand in the Anfield Road End in the away end, giving it to them. I loved the fact we all travelled on the tube home yesterday and it was a little bit edgy and there was singing back and forth. I love all that. And I fell in love with Wimbledon because I was always on a little bit of an edge when you go watch football at that big level. Do you know what I mean? Which you don't really get at our league because people just disappear. Do you know what I mean? You could sometimes do if you go up to the Wrexhams and stuff. But I liked that yesterday, getting on the tube with a load of Chelsea fans who thought they were really giving it, and then they got literally outsang on the tube platform. And I think it brought me back to the reason why I started going home and away with Wimbledon, getting trains. Again, we do it now all over the country, but getting trains to the biggest and some of the best clubs in the world, apparently. And Wimbledon would go to and beat you 1-0. We'd also think we'd get beat 5-0 by Man U, which we did. But you'd also go out there and Robbie Earl would score last minute and everyone go absolute apeshit. And
but don't you feel like lower down football just is a... I just feel lower down football is just like it's just got... It's just morally better. For me, it's just a better version of football. It's just...
Even though it's trying to be sanitized, Dan. Look at Wimbledon sometimes.
It is the point.
I mean, we spoke about this a lot now, but for me, morally, yeah, the football is better. But then even at our level, you've got players earning 20 grand a week. At League One, League Two, players are earning four. One of our players is probably on about £4,000 a week at League Two level, mate.
I just feel it's a better community project.
But the football on the pitch is absolutely appalling, though, as well, the lower you go down. Is it appalling, or is it
the fact of the Premier League, what they're offering, and the sheer diversity of the players that come in means that it's going to be much better?
No, I just think it's a poor... Like, I watched Liverpool Newcastle the other day, right? Don't support either team, don't care who wins the game. I'd rather Newcastle beat Liverpool because I'm not a big fan of Liverpool, but it didn't bother me, Liverpool won. But the game was just brilliant, like the football was brilliant. But then I'm one of these people that can... Some people say, like, they get bored of watching too much football. I stick on German Free Liga, low-level German football on a Sunday. I'll sit there and watch German football games. I'll sit there and watch the Italian games. I'll sit and watch any game of football, the Czech League. And some of that is shockingly bad, but I just love it. I love the atmospheres. I love watching football and just, yeah, I did enjoy being back yesterday. And I thought I'd love to do this week in, week out. And as I said, one of my greatest ever memories, my best weekend watching Wimbledon was when we went to Frankfurt and we played Kickers Offenbach. And I just think, is there no way they could do a little lower league kind of Europe so we can get our days out? Do you know what I mean? I watched the Champions League draw and I'm so jealous of Newcastle.
What was it they used to do? The Anglo-Italia, didn't they?
Yeah.
And that was like for teams not playing obviously our league.
You know what I mean? Like the Europa Conference League got absolute cuss when it got brought in. But Leicester had a great... West Ham won it and we're calling themselves the champions of Europe because they know there's a level now that they can't get to with Man City, Liverpool. There should be a European Super League probably soon and bin off all the big, massive clubs who think they're better than everyone else and just have these good clubs. Like West Ham are a good community club as well. I know that they've moved stadiums and stuff, which weren't great, but I'd love to be going out to blimmin' Riga or something or Bucharest to go watch Wimbledon play in the European game on a Thursday night. And then we come back and we have Everton away, I'll say it, or Everton home. Do you know what I mean? But
I mean, it was good. Like I said, I enjoyed it. My dad, again, you know, I talk a lot about going with Dan, how much I like it, and it was great. Like I said, we catch up, and it's a nice journey. But I just don't think I would enjoy going to it as frequently as I have done with other games as it stands. But I guess earning the right to go, I'm much more excited, frankly, getting into League One than I would be getting into the Premier League. I'd be like, yeah, come on, League One, let's do it. But yeah, no, it was, I can take what you're doing, but I just don't share the enthusiasm for going to the really, really big stadiums. But it was, as I said, the one thing I do like is the feeling of walking into the Lions Den. Like, it's packed. It's like a citadel. And we're like, at the moment, Dolly likes watching the Gruffalo. And I just sort of like, I'm like the little mouse going along, and Chelsea's like this massive Gruffalo. And I'm like walking along, like panicking. And there's this massive, massive, ridiculous little bear. Yeah, no, it was good. What is amazing, Lee, is within five games, how different the club feels. If that makes sense, and the team feels, because let's be blunt, at the end of last year it was pretty horrendous. I mean, we were struggling, we were almost motivating ourselves to go like, come on, let's come on, we've got to do this. Now, like today, I was here sitting there like, come on, when's 8 o'clock coming? When can we chat nonsense and chat rubbish, and you know, I just enjoyed it.
I saw a couple of mates at Chelsea and they were like, oh, are you going to have enough time not to be moaning tonight? Like, I've got this reputation now that I'm a moaner and all I do is moan about Wimbledon.
Well,
and I tried to point out to them that this season I don't think I've moaned once about the team. And I said to them, all we've been saying, and a lot of fans were saying this yesterday as well, all we've been saying is give us a Wimbledon team. So, I mean, we don't care if we beat Petit 3-0. All we want to see is 11 players putting 100% in for the shirt. Do you know what I mean? And that's, I think we're getting that now. And that's what, maybe you're right about this level and this being where we are now instead of the big away that, like being in the Premiership, is that a lot of their players don't really care about the clubs and stuff. They're there for 100 grand a week. A lot, like, one of the things I hate about the Premier League as well is you've got players going on strike because they're not getting moves to Chelsea, or they want to go and play for Milan or something, so they're not playing. I hate all that. But we used to have that in the lower leagues as well. Remember, I think Forest had it a couple of times in the Championship and stuff. But I think all levels of football is just unfortunately gone, Dan, and it ain't the same as it will ever be. But yeah, there was people that said, and I said, just give us a good team. Give us a good team, and I think we've got that now. We've got passion, and that's all we've ever wanted. And yeah, I'm very happy with how it's going this season, and yeah, may it continue. So,
no, I've got, like I said, it's been genuinely enjoyable, and yeah, let's just hope we hang on to the coattails and see how much we can enjoy it more.
Definitely, definitely. Right, when we come back, we'll finish the episode with the preview of Newport.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
So we're back for the final part of the episode where we are going to be previewing the Newport game. Danny, we touched on it earlier regarding starting 11 on Saturday. As I said, I'd go 4-4-2 with Bass, Ogundia. What a player Ogundia is becoming as well. You and George got it so wrong with Ogundia. He's getting better and better every week, and you two are the worst shouts I've ever heard in my life. But anyway,
who's better right back, Biller or Ogundia?
At this time, Ogundia.
Incorrect.
Well, he is.
As soon as Biller is fit and 100% fit,
when will that be?
He will. Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying he's a better right back than Ogundia.
Would you still say Ogundia alone?
If I'm honest, if we had Biller and we could get another player, then I would definitely give Ogundia the chance to go on loan. But he has played, and I give him credit, he has been playing as good as I've seen him play. Yeah. But like I said, he's not a right back that, in my opinion, gets us promoted. But right now, he is playing well, and I'm going to give him full credit for that.
No,
I'm going to give you credit for backing him, because I didn't back him.
No, I agree. And I think you and George were pretty wrong there, but anyway, I'm never wrong, so we'll brush over that.
No,
so,
that is true, actually.
Yeah. So I'll go Oggs, Lewis, Johnson, Brown.
Hold on, you call him an Oggs now? Because we did this with when you went to JJ. Do you remember that?
He's Jackson still at the moment. He still ain't got himself to JJ.
That period when you went, oh, look, it's JJ. I was like, oh, here we go.
And then
it's not Jackson, it's JJ. Now it's Oggs. All of a sudden, it'll be Ogandia next week. And then it'll be whoever that is, get him out my club. That Pat Butcher. Right, go on, so you're going Ogandia, because I'm not Oggs yet.
Oggs, Lewis, Johnson, Jono. Brownie. Then
you're going to play Brown at left back?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I'll go right would be Tilly or Newfield.
Well, Tilly and Newfield pit themselves at the moment.
Yeah.
Newfield, again, worked his socks off yesterday.
Yeah, 100%, mate. He's, as I said to you before, his attitude has been spot on every week he's played. He ain't always got the game.
I totally agree with you.
Curry coming back will absolutely help him massively.
I think it will generally be the making of him if he stays fit and he's
Well, I still
hungry.
Think he's made, but I think it'll push him to another level. And then in midfield, I go Morgs and Bawley.
Okay.
And then up front, I'd go Ali and the Bugle.
If Little is fit, what are you going to do?
I'd go Morgs and Bawley.
You're not going to play Little.
I just think if he's a problem is he going to be 100% fit? Like, you don't want to rush him back when you've got two players there that can play. I'd have him on the bench possibly, but do you really want to take like Morgan and Bawley out, who have just played brilliant against Chelsea? Did Bawley well against Thing?
I mean, the other thing I would say is knackered after that game. I mean, ran their socks off.
Yeah, that's a.
And remember, we also lose a day of recovery. Because it's literally Wednesday. By the time they got home, that's going to be Thursday.
They're not training Thursday. They might train Friday, but then are they travelling to Newport Friday?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, how much are they actually going to be training?
I'm hoping that we've sorted out a base in somewhere near Wales or somewhere, do you know what I mean, Chester or something, that we could train on Friday and then get loads of stuff done in a hotel or something, like with guys to set pieces and stuff and talk to the players. But you're right there, actually. They're going to both be shattered, but I just think Morgan Williams is 18, so he should be able to play another game. I feel bad dropping Pell, but the problem I got is
Pell is a sub.
Newport are decent. They beat Forest Green 3-0 the other week, and they're doing all right. They've got.
I just feel for Pell that every time I've seen him play, he's been more of an irritant, i.e., he's a bit of a pain to play against, rather than being a quality footballer. He is the kind of guy that you put the ball in the box, he's all arms and legs and stuff. I actually feel like, in many ways, the kind of the sportsmanship stuff that he kind of does lets him down a bit. I think Brown, he hasn't got much about his game, so he relies on it. I think Pell's got a bit more about him, but he's definitely looks a bit leggy, and I feel like Pell won't play. I'm probably the opposite to you. I still feel like Little, if he plays, I would be tempted, actually. And you can shoot me down in flames, I'd be actually Little and Morgan Williams, I think.
Well, it's a ball. Oh, that's a big shirt.
He's played all right the last couple of games, but I'd be very tempted with giving Morgan Williams another go, I think.
I'm very worried about Saturday, because, again, we didn't talk about Forest Green. As I said to you before, Forest Green, I thought the atmosphere was quite flat at Forest Green because they didn't bring any away fans and that. There's not going to be many away fans going up to Newport because of the train situation, the price of train tickets as well, and people driving. It's quite a long drive, two and a half hours, 3 hours for people to get to. Also, Newport are one of the form teams. So they beat Charlton 3-1 in the Carabao Cup, beat Doncaster 4-0, had a blip against Crewe and lost 4-2, but then beat Forest Green 3-0, beat Sutton 3-1, and then they drew with Brentford. I think they went out on penalties in the Carabao Cup to Brentford, and Brentford had to bring on some couple of star players. Do you know what I mean? So they're not in bad form. They're doing all right. And I do worry when we got there how tired we will be after the Chelsea exploits.
So more importantly, then obviously, you know, you're behind massively to the big guns in the prediction league. Like, which nothing. I mean, I can't even see you. You're that far behind.
One point behind.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm all I'm looking is forwards now. I mean, I've got no. No.
You're chasing the bus.
No,
I'm run down the bus, yeah?
All I'm looking at now, you know, what they say, you know, you can wait for half an hour and then all of a sudden you get two buses turn up at once. I'm hoping there's no other bus involved. But, you know, all I'm looking is forwards. So what are you going for?
1-1.
Interesting.
What am I got now? Is it I tell you my scores, you could just do what I do and then still beat me every week now?
I mean, 1-1's always... I'm not sure, you know. I do feel it's a result game. I think we'll win or lose. I think by the odd goal. I'm really. Do I go for the? I will go with. I think we'll be 2-1 to us. I've got to. I'm going to keep the momentum up. I think 1-1 is a sensible prediction. But if I'm really honest with you, I feel like you just kind of sat on the fence a bit. You just kind of play the percentage game. And what you've done is you're falling into the trap.
There's no percentage here, mate.
You're kind of thinking, you know what, the game starts at 0-0. So therefore, if I put a draw, it's a default. And you got that 1 point, which means that 1 point gets into your level with me. I feel like what I've done inadvertently has got in your head a bit. And that's fine.
Oh, I bet you thought
I had a massive blow up on Saturday. I haven't told you about it yet. I had a massive blow up where I had all this sort of thought about how this thing works. Because I don't know if you've noticed, and this is the other thing as well before we go. Have you noticed that we've changed ends on the warm up?
Yes.
Right. I had a theory.
No one's told us why either.
Well, I thought I worked it out and I let myself down royally because I told everyone about it. And I was like, I'm pretty sure every game this year, we're going to shoot towards me, because obviously the south end, the south stand is where all the action is, where all the lads are, all the flags, all the boys. Anyone who's on the sides are a complete waste of time. No disrespect, but the energy comes from the south stand. So I said, what happens is Wimbledon go to the far end, and then the near end, which is obviously, you know, where Wimbledon would normally warm up, that is the away team. What happens is when they do the toss, if we win the toss, we naturally spin the game, i.e. we're going to go the other end, which means that we're going to come back to the south end in the second half. And if we lose the toss, because the away fans have already got what they want, or the away team to have whatever they want, which means that Wimbledon are going to come at us first half, they'll just say, oh, we'll have kickoff, and then we'll go, all right, we'll change ends. So I thought, well, whatever happens, we're going to win, because you're not going to just switch ends. But then I forgot that a team could just go, yeah, no, we'll just stay here, thanks, rather than having the middle, if you like, the start. So I basically had a plan. I told everyone about it. I said, you watch this. We're definitely going to do it. And Forest Green, I've blown up my idea.
Oh, so I was nearly nodding off then.
It would be for you, because I hope
no one else has been nodding off to that. Danny,
you're too busy looking ahead on the league table and thinking.
Well, I'm in the East End, I'd rather.
Yeah, that's true. You lot just shout
because
anyway,
we're the ones that are singing and giving it the big one.
Well, you're the ones that South, Danny Macken keeps talking about how rude you are and how you need to talk about.
He doesn't anymore because he's not around anymore.
How you can't say certain, you know,
Danny Macken's not. He's not on socials.
Probably because of the East End.
No one's seen him. No one's seen him. I hope he's still
probably your block, exactly your block.
Good.
The only good thing about your block is the flags. They are superb.
Our yellow
not
flag
your
is.
Flag. I mean, well, the other flags.
Our flags must, to be fair. And we've got the Saddler's flag, RIP. Rest in peace, Saddler. But yeah, I'm going 1-1, and I think we'll score because we can score. But we also are looking like we could concede as well at the moment. Like, I know people said, oh, we're defensively doing all right, but teams have hit the post a couple of times against us. Even Sutton, Bass has made some great saves. Sutton again, Forest Green. Do you know what I mean? So
what Lee Finch from the podcast is saying is that we could score, but we could also concede. That's coming from, okay, that's great. I'm just trying to be clear that's
punditry
come from you,
at the highest
that
level.
We
mate.
Can't, yeah, yeah. No wonder Martin Tyler resigned. He saw you coming and thought, no, I'm going. Well, I'm jumping before
after
I can
this,
be pushed.
Sky Sports will be on the phone asking if they'll have me on Soccer Saturday watching the game. Right, anyway, that's it. That's enough from us two tonight. Thanks again to Season Master for sponsoring the podcast this season, Gary Fletcher and the lads. Yeah, it's been brilliant. One thing I have to say is Steve Murphy is a fat Chelsea mug. But that's about it. Danny, anything you want to say before we go?
Just Gary Buss, I'm coming for you. Ding, ding. Round five.
Tickets, please. Right. Thank you very much. Come on, you dunce.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.